Tinfoil hat.
If you want to check us out on all of our social media platforms, on Twitter at tinfoilhatcast, reddit.com/r/tinfoilhatshow,
on Instagram at tinfoilhatpod,
or allcomedytshirts.com,
email us at tinfoilhatpod@gmail.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Tinfoil Hat. Come with me into the waters of conspiracy. With Sam Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
Sam
Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
Mr. Sam Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
With my friend Ryan Davis.
Hi, Ryan.
We're like
the first
doing this
gay couple of conspiracy theories.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful, man.
Hello out there, partner.
Say that again.
It's some mystical, deep, dark realm crazy shit.
Wake up, Aaron. There's reptile people everywhere.
Hey, man, where's the truth there, dog?
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
Yeah, the revolution will be podcasted. Thank you guys for tuning in to Tinfoil Hat. You know who we are. You know what we're here to do. I want to thank you all for helping us have some of our best numbers ever. We're consistently in the top 100. We get up to 50 on comedy. We've gone up to 40. I mean, it's all because you guys are spreading word and showing us some love. So without you guys, this is not possible. We appreciate your love and dedication, and we work hard to make you happy and part of the secret society. Guys, June 1st, we're almost a month away.
Hey-o.
June 1st, the big tinfoil hat. Comedy night at Cobb's in San Francisco. Tickets are selling. They're very happy. I'm so excited. Myself, Eddie Bravo, Off the Grid Ryan, and our good friend Trey Zmala will be there. It is a night of comedy, conspiracy. We're going to do stand-up, then we're going to do a panel, and then whoever brings the most people, bam, you get backstage smoke weed with our man Eddie Bravo for your own podcast. It's going to be exciting. I know people are buying tickets and offering to their friends to help sell it out. Whatever it takes, we appreciate your kindness. Yeah. And again, thank you for all the iTunes reviews. We love you. We got some new shirts coming out.
Woo!
I just dumped some awesome stuff on the Patreon. That's doing very well. So we're very happy with the support we get from you guys. And so let's get into our guest. I'm very excited to have this guy on. I think he's very important to what is going on in our country right now, around the world. He is part of this movement for truth. And, you know, just like our good friend Jimmy Dore and other more popular people than our podcast are smeared and they're gone after because they're spitting that truth. And he is here. He is here from Redacted Tonight, one of my favorite shows on YouTube, to watch my good friend Lee Camp, everybody. How are you, Lee?
Thanks, guys, for having me. Thanks for the awesome intro.
Lee, you have a big comedy. You're recording. Is this your second comedy special in Los Angeles?
Well, if we're talking video, it's my second. I had a few albums before that, obviously. But, second video special. I'm filming it at El Rey with special guest Jimmy Dore.
That's amazing. We will be there. What nights are those?
May 18th and 19th, and there's some tickets left. People can check out at leecamp.com.
And now your last one, did you put that out yourself? Did you just make it and put it out?
Yeah. These have all just been on me. The last one was called We Are Nothing. That was filmed in New York City. And this one I'm just doing myself as well.
Do you have a name for it?
I don't have a name for it. I got to come up with one. Maybe you can help me.
Yeah, let's do this, dude. I love it. So what can they expect if they know you, they know your style of comedy. I think it's awesome. What can they what will you be covering? Because it's going to be interesting when you do a special, if you do a lot of timely stuff or like current events. Mm-hmm. Like I just shot my special at the Viper Room like 3 weeks ago. And
nice.
I have a reference to Hillary Clinton, and I already think it's somewhat fading in a weird way.
Are you just afraid when she becomes reptilian overlord that she's going to hear about it?
Yeah, possible. I'm definitely worried about this. My Melania Trump bit, that should get some interesting feel. But what are you going to be talking about on the special?
Well, sadly, I guess for the world, a lot of it does not really age. I mean, I you know, as do you largely, I like to get into the deeper issues. I don't really spend that much time. In fact, I'm probably going to have a joke up top about Trump, and then I'm going to say that's probably the last time I'm going to mention Trump for the entire hour, because Trump is a symptom of a completely fucked up system and society. And I like to get into that stuff and kind of explore thoughts that you don't hear on the you know, corporate media, like why do we need police? Like, let's get rid of like 99% of them. You know, I like exploring thoughts like that, and those aren't going to really age. You know,
that's very interesting. Are you a libertarian?
No, I'm actually not. I mean, I guess I don't really sign on to an ism or an Aryan.
I get that.
Here's the thing, is because the two-party system is such bullshit and the two corporate parties agree on 90% of it, it's like libertarians probably have more in common with what I believe on the far left than like I have in common with corporate Democrats. So the two parties don't mean anything anymore. They just mean corporate. And so it's like, yeah, I share a lot of libertarian ideas, you know, and then there's other areas where I think libertarians have their heads up their asses.
Yeah,
so,
I couldn't agree more with that. I'm socially a libertarian. I am for what I call protections. They call it regulations. I call for protections. I'm for protections in places. I go somewhere, I want to make sure the food is healthy if I'm eating there.
Right.
Or where I go to work, it's a safe environment. They're not cutting costs. Like, we see a lot in these, a lot of times when these mines implode, right? And these workers are down there implode. It's because they've deregulated it so much. There's really nothing protecting these guys going down there. And if, you know, it is what it is. It's like in Vegas, man, when they build a hotel, they basically put in their budget three or four deaths. They assume three or four people are going to die when they build that. You know, it's just like, that's crazy to me.
And those numbers used to be like crazy high. The Empire State Building, you know, they lose like a guy a floor or whatever it was. But now we have more regulation. That's not really allowed to happen as much. But of course, you gut all that regulation out, and now everyone's dying and, you know, black lung and all that shit.
Yeah, it is crazy. It is crazy. So we're super excited about your special coming out, and I'm super excited you're on the show. You were on here before. I wanted to get into the Michelle Wolf. I know if you saw her at the press gala. Basically, she went there and she just dropped a couple hammers on some people. Feelings got hurt. And I'm for comedians going for it. So I will always be pro that. I love what she did. I think it should happen more. Okay. There seems to be a backlash. I'm not sure. You don't know today if it's an actual backlash or it's like this manufactured astroturfing going on to get us to fighting with each other. But you saw her set. What do you think, Lee, about?
I actually only saw little clips of it, so I haven't seen the whole set. But what I've seen and read, it's like, it's not that outlandish, you know, it's not that harsh. And I think comedians should swing for the fences. And what I find really interesting that I don't think you probably have heard on any of your mainstream airwaves is they act like they're upset about it, is what's really forbidden at those press corps dinners. What's really forbidden is questioning capitalism, questioning, you know, Israel blowing Palestinian kids away.
Unbelievable.
Questioning our wars around the world. Like, that's the type of stuff that's truly forbidden. Whereas a dumb joke about, you know, abortion or about Kellyanne Conway getting hit by a tree, they act all outraged. But that's not really forbidden.
Now it's basically the White House media gala, right? And this is where they all come together. It's a tradition.
It's press corps.
What's the difference?
I just meant that, you know, the White House didn't even show up this time. Trump didn't even show up. So it's really the it's just the press that creates this event. The White House is invited.
Right. Which is 100% accurate. But my point is that, for everything you want to say about Trump, and I'll get into this, whether he's a good guy, bad guy, I think he's a bad guy, but not for the reasons the media tells you, okay? It's like other real reasons, not this dog shit, Russian collusion crap or this porn star going around. Like, I mean, if we got mad at every guy that cheated on his woman, we'd have no leaders, in anything, in any genre, whether it's music, art, or whatever, we'd be fucked. I'm not saying it's right that you do that, but I mean, how are we comparing everybody? You know, what is Trump compared to anybody else? But what I will say is that he's destroyed the media. I mean, does anybody trust the mainstream media anymore? I mean, he literally is making their jobs way worse, way harder, because it's harder for them to get anybody to buy into their bullshit.
And, yeah. And you're saying that as a positive, right?
Yeah, 100%. That's the one thing about Trump. I mean, I can find things in Obama. I can find things. I can't find anything in George Bush I like, or Reagan, or any of those guys. But I can find things in Obama that I was like, okay, he attempted to get rid of privatized prisons. Like, that to me is a really good thing. He attempted and didn't achieve it to get us all health care. There was a beginning step to that. Yes, it became a corporate thing to help the insurance companies, you know, but I felt like it was an attempt. I can respect that. I can find things in Trump that I like. That I could be like, okay, this North Korea, South Korea peace agreement, that to me is amazing. Nobody covered it.
Yeah. I agree with you in a lot of ways. I think that Trump, he's not part of the system. He's not part of the corporate system. Now, there's so much about him I hate. I hate that he doesn't give a fuck about the environment. I hate that he's put people in there that are willing to just, you know, destroy the last remnants of our fucking environment, you know, and our public schooling. And there's so many things I could sit here and list about how horrible he is.
100%.
What he's good at is he doesn't actually have the kind of same dogs in the race that the other corporate stooges have had. He doesn't care for the media, you know, the way they wanted to prop up the you know, corporate state media that the other guys have wanted to do. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, he pulled out of that, which no other candidate would have. I mean, well, Bernie might have, but, you know, Hillary and the others would not have. And now he may jump back into that, but not because of his own decisions, but because he's got pressures from all around him saying, oh, you got to get back into the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a massive corporate giveaway. So he's a very interesting guy in that he's, you know, he's also racist on top of that. But he doesn't fit into what has kind of ruled our country for decades.
I do believe that the viciousness of the attacks makes me think it's not the same thing. As, you know, when we see Barbara Bush's funeral, you see the Clintons, the Obamas, and the Bushes all kumbayaing together. And then you start realizing this is fucking theater, like pro wrestling, right? And they each played their role in this.
Yeah, Bill's like photobombing in that one photo. That's the best part.
Look, we're humans. You know, you're like, get the fuck out of here,
I'm
man.
I'm here.
You know, and it's
they're all best friends. Yeah,
BF. By the way, they're all swingers and cucks. They're all swingers and cucks. They all just—it's everything's eyes wide shut, and they all just bang each other, and they just hope nobody gets pregnant. That literally is what going. Like, have you ever looked at like how many offsprings of famous people don't look like they're from those people? I mean, Aleister Crowley and Barbara Bush, and then we get into Clintons and whoever heard that she looks like. It's just there is something different. Now, the right is very upset because they're like, oh, man, this was mean. They're going after, they're going after what's her face, the press secretary. And that's mean. And if it was the other way around, people wouldn't put up with it. Well, to that, I tell you that. What's his name? Larry Wilmore, right? Was that his name? He did a joke calling Obama his N-word, okay? And then did a joke about him. He's like Steph Curry in that they both bomb people from long distance, or they both drop bombs from long distance. And 2 days later, he was fired from his show. And that's real. Now, it's not, that's really light compared to what Wolf was doing, but there were ramifications for going after a president like that. Maybe his jokes weren't as good, or maybe he went after the military and war, and that's what they're like, that's a big no-no. But there were, you know, he did go after Trump, I mean, after Obama, so there were ramifications for this. Like, your thoughts on that, it was cruel.
I don't know that he, because his show is, apparently he'd been fighting with Comedy Central about that show for a long time,
right.
So I don't know that it was directly connected to that, but I hear what you're saying, that he definitely said things that that got people upset. And actually, with the most famous press corps dinner speech, Colbert's, like, that bombed as well. That room fucking hated that speech because he was truly criticizing Bush in a deeper way than many people had seen. But what's interesting about that is, you know, and I talked to producers. I was a friend with a producer of Colbert who saw him the day after that. And he said Colbert didn't understand that he was doing anything that wrong. He didn't think, oh, man, I'm going to fucking drop a turd in this place. He thought he was just doing what he was supposed to do. And it turned out that these guys are so thin-skinned in front of their face because they live in a bubble where they're never criticized or questioned. And they really couldn't handle it.
It's really unbelievable. And then you got Dennis Miller losing his skull over Wolf and her jokes, going nuts. It's like, hey, dude, you know, like, where? What do you think young Dennis Miller would think of old Dennis Miller?
Yeah, baby. Oh, how many circles would he draw on pencil before?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's all. That's how he made his name on a Weekend Update, was shitting on the power elite, right? Am I wrong?
But we're talking about him, right?
And he was, dude, he was such a good and interesting comic back in like the 80s. And I used to love his early stuff. And then he just fucking swung to the right and said, and here's the worst part. It's like, all right, there are some good right wing comics out there. But he said, I'm not going to criticize Bush because I like the guy. So I give him a pass. And it's like, you're not actually a political comedian if you just tell the ruling elite, hey, I'm giving you all a pass.
Can you please tell me what is going on with this romanticizing of George Bush? Like I was watching Bill, my girlfriend makes me watch Bill Maher occasionally. Like, I can't get out of this. I have to watch it. I have to pick between that or sleeping on the couch. These are my choices I make in my life. When my girlfriend loves, you know, the left and the MSNBC, I have to pick my battles. And sometimes I have to watch these, you know, the real time with Bill Maher. He had Jordan Peterson on, so I wanted to watch that. And just how he's like, you know, the Bushes would never do what Trump's doing. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? As bad as Trump is, and he's a fucking shitbag. He has not lied to us to force us into wars, man. Like it's unbelievable. He didn't, as much as we want to say the Russians, blah, 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 collusion, which isn't true, he didn't steal an election. Does anybody, like, not remember any of this?
I agree with most of what you're saying. He does lie to you a lot, though.
There is politicians lying, and then there is going to the UN Council to fucking lie about weapons of mass destruction. Now, I know. Listen, it's going. Okay, maybe I take that back. It is going on right now with Iran. Okay, point Lee Camp. I give out points on the show. I just gave you a fucking point.
I do agree with what you're saying. The fucking the new like revisionist history of George W. Bush is fucking ridiculous. And I think it's because they will criticize the president, like, right, you put a Republican president in, the left, especially the faux left, will go, oh, that guy's the devil and he's making everything go wrong. But then once you take him out of office, they have to whitewash the ruling elite, like, oh, they're all good guys and women. They're really trying to help the American people. Let's not go so hard on them, because they want to continue this charade that they're somehow out to help the people, as if this is somehow public service, when in fact it's just endless greed and endless enriching of themselves and their fucking, you know, fellow wealthy elite. And so I think that's why they have to whitewash the past with W.
Well, hold on. George W. did do one really cool thing.
What?
And that was when he dodged those shoes from that Iraqi
that
journalist.
Cool.
I like fell in love for
Neo
him with her.
From the Matrix. Yeah, on it?
If I'm down, I start thinking about my life. I just rewatch that thing. It's like a 40-second clip. It makes me so happy, dude. he was a ninja. He saw it coming and he smiled and then he just barely Neo'd it.
So, but would you say that Trump is leaps and bounds more evil than George Bush? I mean, like, has he reached George Bush level fucking war crimes? I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
No, so far he is not, but he does seem easily, when it comes to wars especially, because I guess if we're talking about the amount of death around the world, he seems easily manipulatable by the military-industrial complex. I mean, he said we're getting out of Syria very soon. He then, 3 or 4 days later, tells the military, it was in the Washington Post, tells the military to plan withdrawal from Syria. Then 3 days after that, there's a chemical attack that, oh my God, they're going to use chemicals and kill these kids. So then 2 days after that, or a day after, whatever, he bombs Syria. And now Mattis says in front of the Senate that we're staying in Syria and we're going to re-energize there. And so it's like it just seems like he's very easily manipulated by the military-industrial complex to do whatever the fuck they want.
Listen, I'm totally aware of the military, how it all works. Does he have options on that? I mean, if you put Santa Claus into the role of presidency, is he doing anything different? I mean, isn't that where we're at as a government right now, where it's like these guys have such a stranglehold on it that, I mean, the last president tried to go against got a bullet in a fucking head driving down a fucking street.
Yeah, you're absolutely right in that a lot of people started hearing about the deep state with when Trump got into office. They think it's some sort of invention of the right wing or far right or something. But the deep state has been talked about for decades.
Yeah.
And, I did a segment on it 2 years before Trump got into office. And the deep state basically just says exactly what you just said. The deep state keeps running in a certain way with our wars around the world and our wars of empire and our economic attacks around the world. And that's not going to change whether you put Bernie into office or you put Trump into office. And like you said, a couple of guys who tried to change that, or one particular, they got a bullet to the head. So
I mean,
there you go.
It's just like, everybody keeps wanting for hope, but it's so big. And like he gets these people on his administration and he whack-a-moles them because they're just more of the same. I do think there is something different. Like, they're attacking him so badly. There's something going on. There's something more going on. I can't put my finger on it because he is doing all the stuff that the bankers would want. He's deregulating this, deregulating that. He's bombing the fuck out of everybody. I mean, but the way they're attacking him is like something I've never seen before. Even with Bill Clinton, when they put on that charade about the, he got a blowjob by a fat chick in the fucking White House, let's all go nuts, which was just, shifting focus as he deregulated the media, deregulated the banks, gave us fucking a crime bill that was institutional racism, and then gave us free trade. It shifted our focus. We were so busy on a fat chick blowjob that nobody saw that, like, things were passing that were going to change the way this country operated for the worse.
Yeah, the best corporate president to ever be in that office was Bill Clinton, because he made it. He did it all under a Democratic administration. I mean, that's the way to really get that shit done, is you do it as a Democrat and then people get behind it. He deregulated the telecom industry so that 90% of everything you hear on your airwaves or your radio stations is owned by five corporations. And it's fucking nuts. So that's why shows that are actually speaking about these issues, like yours and mine, get pushed off to the YouTube and other airwaves like that, not the mainstream. And of course, those are now being suppressed because any anti-establishment voices are being attacked left and right.
Now, Lee, you've been in the journalism for a while now. Have you ever received notes, quote unquote, from like higher ups, like talking like, Mockingbird?
Yeah.
Type operations. Have you ever been told not to talk about things, or are you able not to talk about not talking about these things?
No, he's got made, dude. He's got it made.
I'm like, what's that?
Yeah, I think you got it going good over there, man. I mean,
no, I've never been told to say or not say anything. I mean, I think the closest I came to really knowing that I was being suppressed or attacked was actually before I got this show on my podcast. I interviewed someone emailed me and goes, hey, would you like to talk to the widow of Ibrahim Tadashev, who was the friend of the Boston bombers?
Yeah.
And he was on his fourth meeting with the FBI at his home. He was shot 7 times, once in the back of the head by the FBI. At first, they claimed he was armed. Then they said with a gun. Then they said no, a knife. Then they said no, a broomstick. Then they said he wasn't armed, and they shot him 7 times. Now, I talked to his widow on my podcast. It was like this is 6 years ago. It was my
Holy
most listened to
shit.
Podcast at the time. And immediately my site comes down with all kinds of really high-level malware that my web guy was like, dude, I've never seen anything like this.
Holy shit, man. Yeah, I mean, like, that's the whole thing, man. You know, I go on Jimmy Dore's show a lot, and I think his show is just as important as your show. You guys are both doing some amazing stuff. He rails against the mainstream media a lot, and, you know, but we got this whole thing with guns right now going on in this country, and I think guns are, like, obviously we need some common sense laws, but I always warn people that the people who are pushing that narrative about guns and all this stuff are the same people who pushed, you know, Gulf of Tonkin, the narrative on the JFK shootings. We can just go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever on all these narratives that have been pushed. And a lot of people want to take all the guns. And Lee, you might not agree with me on this, and I would love to hear your thoughts. But, you know, it's like, if you look at the other countries where they ban guns, their military has not been hijacked by dark forces and turned into stormtroopers who are going in and stealing everybody's resources. And when you look at all these high impact situations that we've seen, there's always a CIA and always an FBI connection, just like there was with the Boston bombing. And that those two guys who got blamed for it, his uncle was like a CIA asset in the region who trained people. So, I mean, it's like a really crazy fucking thing going on in this country that it's just like we have this media. And I just want to get into, like, your thoughts on, like, where the media is right now on just, like, I mean, like, they're not talking about Yemen. They're lying about Syria. I mean, like, what is going on? Like, especially MSNBC. It's just like, it's almost like Fox News is quiet now. They're just like, look at this crazy person over there. You know, it's like you're the drunk at the party and everyone thinks you're weird until a crackhead shows up and everyone's like, fuck the drunk guy. Look at the crackhead, right?
I guess to get into it, Lee, do you think he gassed him in Syria? I mean, simple as question.
No, as Rand Paul, a congressman, said on CNN, it would be the dumbest move Assad could ever make. He may be a tyrant, but he's not a fucking idiot. So he's about to win this thing. He's got, you know, the other side on the ropes. And the only thing he could do to get the U.S. fully back into it is gas his own people, only killing 40 people in the attack, which is what's claimed. And instead of traditional bombing, so it had to be a chemical attack. And of course, he does that right as Trump is saying, we're pulling people out. We're not going to be there long. Hey, military, start planning the withdrawal. So not only does it not make logical sense, but then you have major, well-respected journalists like Robert Fisk, John Pilger, the last chemical attack a year ago, Seymour Hersh, the most respected journalist in our fucking country, have done reporting on this issue and said, no, there's no chemical attack. On top of that, the U.S. bombs a so-called chemical factory that the OPCW had been to and said no chemicals were produced there. Bombing a chemical factory should harm people around it because plumes of chemicals come out. Guess what? Nobody around it was harmed. Like, it's bullshit because they needed to. And that doesn't mean that the U.S. military created it, but it could easily be that the rebels faked an attack because they want to get the U.S. back into it.
Well, the U.S.'s payroll. They're employees, man.
Yeah, a lot of the rebels over there they're using our arms. They're using our money. And by the way, they're jihadist groups. We are allied with Al-Qaeda in that region. And that's how ridiculous this fucking charade is that they're trying to sell us.
And you look at, like, whenever John McCain shows up over there, a new chapter opens up of the ISIS. He's like the guy who brings Starbucks to every city. He shows up, there's a new Starbucks on the fucking corner.
He's cutting a ribbon on the new franchise.
Yeah. And it's just very interesting. So do you think those are hoaxes? Do you think?
Well, no, I think
people died. So that's a false flag.
Well, yeah, a lot of things can be a false flag in terms of they're defined differently than they actually were. I believe there was absolutely a bombing there, and they've interviewed the child that's in that viral video. They've interviewed the father. They've interviewed the doctor, Robert Fisk, that, you know, British well-known war correspondent, interviewed the doctor that treated those people in the, like, viral video, and the doctor said, They were hurt and they were scared and they were hit by a bomb and they were suffering from dust inhalation because they live, like, in tunnels some of the time so that they don't get hit by these bombs. And that's what he was treating them for. It just wasn't a chemical attack. It was a fucking bombing attack, which is horrific in and of itself. But the reason we don't make that a red line is because we're bombing people all over the goddamn world. We're in seven countries we're not at war with.
Yeah.
Whenever I hear this, it's like, this is news at the Death Star. We're hearing about, today in Endora, a bunch of Ewoks got gassed.
We're in countries that I didn't even know existed. Like, I didn't even know that was a fucking country, and we're bombing
but
it over
we
there.
Were raised in the American education system.
Right, I get it. And I am dumb. I will admit
that. And to me, that shows how in bed these, like, systems are with each other. The fact that constitutionally Congress is supposed to decide who we're at war with and who we're allowed to bomb. That's supposed to be their job. We have not declared war against any of these things. They're going under the authorization of military force from 2001 that had to do with Al-Qaeda, where now we're allied with Al-Qaeda in the region. And so it doesn't make any sense. Terrorist groups that didn't exist in 2001, we're using that justification to bomb. And now Congress just put forward a new AUMF under Tim Kaine and Corker, and Tim Kaine's a fucking Democrat. That is going to codify, it's going to put into the law the illegality that Trump's administration and the military are right now doing. So it basically gives Trump more war powers.
And they only get excited when he bombs. But then you have... I saw your piece on Rachel Maddow's and how she's like crying and do you think she does that because like people like you and Jimmy Dore call her out so much that if she doesn't do this somewhat like heat check on like, oh, I care about the Syrian people. I'm anti-war in her own little way, that she loses credibility with everybody because she literally has on ex-spooks to come on and justify why we're bombing people.
Yeah, I did another segment about how many fucking former CIA, former FBI are on these channels, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News. They're all generals. And it's like, look, and furthermore, they don't even reveal. It's like they may reveal it. It's a former CIA head, but they never reveal, oh, this guy's on the board of General Dynamics. He actually gets paid to lobby for the weapons contractors that make money when we go to war. And here he is on your television screen telling you we have to be at war. Wow, that doesn't sound like a conflict of interest at all. And I mean, it's sick. And Rachel Maddow has just become this like force of conspiracy theories. Let's call it what it is. Conspiracy theories of like, oh, the Russians have, you know, look how many Russians were at Davos and they're they're meeting with these people and met with these people. Meanwhile, they have the nerve to like call people that actually question whether there's whether we're getting the truth from the military. We're the conspiracy theorists. Meanwhile, they're coming up with all kinds of crackpot stuff. The DNC just put forward a lawsuit, alleging that
what
WikiLeaks
the fuck was
Trump
that?
And Russia through the election.
Okay, I want to get into WikiLeaks in 2 seconds. You know, after 9/11, we're going in Iraq, we're going in Afghanistan, Fox News was a crazy channel. And now it's MSNBC, and they got people like, what's her name, Joy Reid? Is that her name, Joy Reid? Like, this woman is tweeting stuff. I'm like, who are you, man? Like, how do you sleep at night? Is there any soul left there? She tweets something about how, like, you could say whatever you want about George Bush, but at least he's not supporting all neo-Nazis in America. I'm like, the Bushes worked with real Nazis.
Yeah, they're not, those weren't neos. Those were straight up old guard Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as if our wars aren't white supremacist in nature. The fact that we are obliterating people around the world as long as they're not white, you're telling me that doesn't count as white supremacy wars? Like,
it is unbelievable to me. And then so they go back to her through her websites and stuff, because that's what you do, man. Like, what if you get on the radar, they go through your shit and they say, I can't wait, if I ever hit on anything, I'm fucked, but I don't care.
Not me.
That's why I leave everything out there. I'm like, here, this is me, I'm a fucking crazy person, and when I make it, they'll be like, okay, the crazy guy make it, you can't really do anything.
Sam, they're just gonna play your comedy special on loop.
there we go. Yeah, I talk a lot of crazy shit in that, but I forgot what I was talking about. So they go back to her website and they find some homophobic remarks. And she goes, the Russians hacked into my website and put that there. Like,
what was it?
And then everybody, it was, she's just racking gays. She was just laying into the gays.
So she's stealing from your material. Dude, you need to.
I never rack gays, dude. I love gays. I'm a fucking weirdo. I want everyone to be able to get weird. You know, I can't judge anybody. I'm into some weird ass shit, dog. I want every with consenting adults get weird. I'll never judge anybody on that. But she said some, you know, slurs. She's the first person to call anybody on any kind of slur. So and then she got and now she's using this Russian thing. Is anybody buying it? I just don't think anyone's buying it. But it's weird well, they think that's an option.
And what's amazing is she actually admitted to the earlier ones like 2 months ago where those came out and she said, oh, yeah, I used to hate gays, but now I've reformed or whatever. Then they came out with harsher ones this week or last week. And now she says, oh, no, those, though, are Russian hackers.
It's like the boogeyman. It's like the boogeyman. It's like they basically just have a guy that can every the Russians just they got nothing else to do. They go put homophobic blogs on Joy.
10 years ago.
It's like and does anyone buy this?
They're using it exactly like McCarthyism back from the 1950s. And what's amazing is these all these faux liberals, you know, or like Rachel Maddow, used to point to McCarthyism. And they used to say George Bush and his administration are being McCarthyist or, you know, the Republicans are being McCarthyist. And that was a sick time in our past. And we should never be like that again. And now they're the ones doing it. Now they're just feeding into the McCarthyist bug as if we didn't go through this chapter of history already.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. There's such conformance. I think the check gets so big that they lose themselves. And they're like, yeah. You know, they're doing this thing. They're working their way up. And then the check gets so big. And then it's like, dance, monkey. You got to dance. Come on, Rachel.
It's like
dance.
When you owe a bunch of money to a drug dealer. And you're just like, oh, boy. It's going to eventually, I'm going to have to do something.
You just get hooked on that lifestyle. And then you do anything to keep that lifestyle going, including pushing narratives that you know aren't real. And, you know, you see somebody like Ellen, who is the notoriously not a nice person now, and you watch her and she's dancing with George Bush. That shit eats your soul up, man. It eats your soul up.
Yeah, it does.
And you start treating people like shit, man, because you know you're doing something that inside you isn't right.
All right. No pun intended. Can I redact what I said about George W?
What?
He's not that cool now that he's dancing with Ellen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, how do you do that? How do you do? I mean, like, we all know it's so amazing.
And I feel like that's what shows you this is all a show for a lot of the media elite, the political elite. Like the fact that they get into the same room and they shake hands and they say, hey, you know, oh, isn't that funny what happened the other day? If I were in the room with any of these people, I'd just feel fucking sick to my stomach. It's like you have murdered hundreds of thousands or you promoted a war and manufactured consent of American people. I don't want to shake your hand and be your friend. I don't.
And now, you know, and the way they cover this, like they, you notice that they kind of cover us pushing the same narrative on Iran with the weapons and they kind of cover it. They cover Syria a lot, but the Iran stuff with they're going to get nuclear weapons, they're very conscious about how they tell us about it because they know it's going to ring like, oh, fuck, we've been through this again before. Deja vu. You lied to us that one time. Now you're going to lie to us again. And like
they've got the same problem with Syria. They really are dying to say Syria has chemical WMD, but they're like, oh, shit, we can't say that. We already did that one.
So, you know, now we find out. I just found this out. I don't know if you knew this, Lee, that Israel, and I want to talk to you about this. Israel dropped a tactical nuke in Yemen. And
what do you mean, like an EMPD or like an electromagnetic pulse device?
They dropped a nuke, a tactical nuke. And there's two kinds of nukes. And it's very interesting wording the way they say it. One is a strategical nuke, and the other one is a tactical nuke. And the tactical nuke, and it all depends on how it's delivered, okay? And a tactical nuke is a smaller, more precise nuke. And if you look into it, like why they did it, it's very, very, very scary. Huh. They basically did it to basically radioactive the environment around where these people live. And that's what they did with that. And you can watch videos of it because for some reason, there's one guy hanging out that always has his fucking phone out. They're like 24/7, they're fucking filming, and they got this, and you could see the blow up. And if you talk to people who know actual bombs, they're like, yeah, that's not a traditional explosion. That looks like a fucking mushroom. And now we got, you know, Netanyahu talking about Israel, about Iran getting nuclear weapons. And it kind of is kind of sad that, you know, when you find out that they drop bombs on actual people.
So I don't know about the Israel and Yemen thing. I'd have to read up on it. But I will say this. First of all, one of the most censored stories from a couple of years ago, which was in Project Censored, was that the U.S. military was using depleted uranium rounds in Iraq. And what that does is exactly what you're saying. It makes the whole area basically lightly radioactive. So the people, you know, get cancer, they die off, the plants can't grow. It kind of destroys the region. And so it's been one of the top censored stories that we use depleted uranium in Iraq, which is really fucking sick. And then the other thing I was going to say about Israel is I had Ray McGovern. He's a 27-year CIA veteran on my show. He used to brief the president. He's had a turnaround, and he's become an activist, and he's fought against all these wars since even before Iraq. He was trying to tell George W. Bush that the intelligence on Iraq was bullshit. And I had him on my show, and I asked him, you know, how influential is Israel in our foreign policy? And he said, absolutely. Like, most of what we do is either with agreement or at the behest of Israel, because Israel, in a lot of ways, has become our outpost in the Middle East.
It's basically Master Plaster from fucking, what was that movie? Like, we're the big, dumb fucking guy that could beat up everybody, but is obviously illiterate. And then you have the really smart little midget dude who sits on our back and tells us what to do. I mean, people don't realize that Israel is basically the size of Orange County down to San Diego. It's like very small. Hmm. And, you know, we always have to preface this when we talk about it, because everybody's so sensitive. You know, it's like, oh, you know, the Holocaust. And if you ever criticize Israel, it becomes this, you know, anti-Semitism. And it's not that for me at all.
Look, I'm a Jew by race and an atheist by choice. But you can support the idea of people. Like, no one wants people to get harmed. And Israel is entitled to have a country, like, in terms of any people are entitled to have a country. That doesn't mean that they can fucking turn the Palestinians' lives into an open air prison, bomb people. They killed, tons of innocent civilians in these recent Palestinian protests in Gaza. And the mainstream media is basically hardly ever mentioning it. Yeah. When they do, they act like it's some sort of equal clash. This is Israeli snipers aiming and sniping at innocent people through a fence. They're not even near them. They're in no risk for their own safety. And they've killed press. They've killed two journalists with press written across their chest. They've hit seven. They're shooting children. They've shot hundreds of people with snipers in the past like 2 weeks. And it's fucking not outrage on your mainstream airwaves.
Do you feel that through, because of the internet, that's somewhat changing, that people are kind of going, okay, enough is enough, you know? I mean, like, because, like, I don't like Netanyahu, but I, you know, that doesn't mean I don't like the Jewish faith at all. I mean, my girlfriend's Jewish. Her family's all Jewish. I love them with all my heart. You know, I've been influenced by the culture. You know, I love it. But this notion that if you criticize something, it's like the end of days. And you know what the truth is? It's like, even the young Jewish people, they're pretty open-minded to a lot of stuff, but then they hear from their moms and their grandmas and they're hardened, and it just gets weird in this town. You know, it's like,
well, it's used to shut down any discussion. It's used to shut down critical thinking. I mean, you can obviously be against war crimes and not be anti-Semitic. It's totally nuts. And, you know, people got to get past that. And I think a lot are. I think it's getting to a tipping point. You know, the BDS movement is really important, and they're trying to make that illegal, as if protest could ever, nonviolent protest should never be illegal. And they're trying to make that illegal in the United States and in Israel.
Not even,
you know,
but just the fact illegal.
The fact that Natalie Portman, Israeli-born Natalie Portman, refused to go accept the what they call the Jewish Nobel Prize, the Genesis Award, in Israel because of what they're doing. That happened a week ago, and that was big fucking news, because, you know, celebrities are turning against this. Lord wouldn't perform in Israel, and it's really growing.
Yeah, and it is crazy, dude.
It almost seems like the most Jewish thing you can do in Hollywood is be anti-Jewish, right?
No.
Ari Shaffir. He's like, and well, at least in comedy.
Yeah, but
world.
He's very, you know, he puts on a show. And it is what it is. I mean, like, dude, I don't like Dick Cheney. Doesn't mean I don't like America. You know,
I like
what I'm
that saying? Sarah Silverman's been speaking out. It's been very fascinating.
I found that very, because her family is very high up in the Israeli military. Her father's very high up. So, I mean, that's very ballsy of her to do that. I mean, she put, like, her Twitter where she's from is Palestine. That's, I mean, like, I just, it's like, why do we have to bring pain to everybody? I just don't know. I mean, maybe I'm naive that the war was meant to defend yourself, but it just seems like wars now just to, like, I don't know, man. It just seems like our military is in our defense. It's our offense now.
Yeah, Lee, you're so entrenched in all this. How do you reset? Like, what's an off day for you, man? Like, do you meditate? How do you cleanse yourself of all this political fucking poison?
Whiskey and laughing, I guess.
So
whiskey and good hanging out.
I want to get into WikiLeaks because what's – I mean, all we hear from the press is like if you look at – like if an athlete or a celebrity talks to the press wrong, that universally the press moves like one and they all condemn it. Yet there's been no condemning of what is going on with WikiLeaks. What is your – I mean, like what they're doing to Julian Assange is unbelievable. I mean, his the crimes that he was accused of, they've been dropped. So technically he has no crimes. He has nothing, no charges. Yet he cannot leave this place, and they won't even let him get internet or hang out with Pamela Anderson. So I think that –
Yeah, it's totally disgusting. All the charges – have been dropped by Sweden, and the only charge remaining against him is skipping out on his bail when Britain was, you know, chasing him around. So they're using that to, like, basically continue to hold him. And he knows if he steps foot outside that embassy in London, they're going to arrest him and likely ship him to the United States, where he'd likely be tried for God knows what, you know, espionage for fuck's sake or something. And he realizes that. And now they've taken away his internet, so he's basically incommunicado. It's completely illegal. The UN's called it illegal. And on top of that, the crimes from Sweden, the leaked emails have come out showing that Sweden wanted to drop those charges because they were nothing 4 years ago, and Britain pressured them to keep those charges up for another 4 years. So it's been a show since the beginning. But here's why. And it took me a while to really come to terms with this or really understand it all. Here's why Julian Assange is one of the most threatening fucking figures to our ruling elite and the powers that be, is because if you look at every time they've been seriously the fucking grasp, the corporate grasp on our society and our empire has been even slightly threatened, it all goes back to WikiLeaks. If you look at the emails that have come back on the DNC and Podesta and Hillary Clinton, if you look at Occupy was actually spawned by emails that came out, which helped spawn the Arab Spring, which then sprung into Occupy. Occupy was incredibly threatening to what our system stands for and the unfettered capitalist structure. And so you look at these things, and it's like time after time where they have been, holy shit, we're in trouble. It goes back to WikiLeaks. So he is one of the most threatening figures to our current, unfettered corporate structure.
Since you mentioned Occupy, and it's so funny that we almost forget that even happened, have you ever heard the idea that Occupy originated from a magazine, a publication out of Canada called Adbusters?
Yeah, I know a lot about the history of Occupy. Adbusters did not originate it, but they did. They're probably pretty responsible for it growing because they – so I was asked – I was not part of any planning, but I was asked to do a video in support of Move Your Money Out and Occupy Wall Street, and this was in June before Occupy started, so June 14th. And I did that video, and it didn't – you know, they got some people to move their money. It was a small thing. Not much happened. Then the organizing people that I had nothing to do with then got bigger people to sign on, and one of those was Adbusters to promote it. Then September 17th came around. I was there the first night in New York, but it probably would have not gotten off the ground the way it did without Adbusters helping to promote it, yeah.
Fascinating, fascinating.
And how Anderson Cooper, who will fly to any region of the country if a fucking – any region of the world if a dictator farts in the wind, he'll go there to cover it, but he won't go three blocks down the street to where Occupy Wall Street's going on.
I know. The amount of effort they have to give to not cover every protest that goes on in America. Right now, there are people living in trees to try and stop pipeline companies from ripping up their own fucking yards. That's going on right now. And our mainstream media, you would never know that all that shit's going down right now. There are protests across this country of people trying to stand up for their own rights, their own yards, their own clean water, and none of it's being covered.
And now we got some situations with YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, it seems like the censorship is coming. You know, I don't know. You're not really conspiracy theorists. We're full on conspiracy theorists, not Rachel Maddow's conspiracies, which is lies. But like, we're into what we call spiritual skepticism here, and of the official narrative. And you know, we've been hearing about from this Q Anonymous for a while about Twitter and Facebook, and then all that stuff really started happening. I don't know if you've seen the Facebook commercials going on, telling you about how we're going to protect you from people getting your data. You gave them the data. What are you talking about? It's like Kobe Bryant telling his girl, baby, I'm going to stop people from cheating on people. You did the cheating. What are you talking about? Your thoughts on that?
I don't know what the conspiracy is, but I'll tell you this. A lot of these larger platforms, especially Google, they're all in bed with the you know, military industrial complex, the intelligence agencies, seed money to start. Nafiz Ahmed did great reporting on this. The seed money early days of Google, some of it came from CIA's venture capital arm. InQtel, it's called, but they've got their hands in fucking everything nowadays. So these major platforms all have a lot of friends in the military industrial complex.
Did you see the article that was going around that basically said that the day that the Pentagon stopped their LifeLog, it's called LifeLog. It was this program that they were doing that would basically collect your life data. Mm-hmm. The day they stopped it is the same day that Facebook was officially formed, the exact same day. Like, they don't even hide. Like, I think it's because the internet wasn't what it was before, or I don't know, but that's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. It's like, try not to do it the exact same time, but it's pretty much the same thing. And now we see Cambridge Analytics, which I know you talked a lot about how they basically were the foreign government that are, you know, they're part of a foreign country that manipulated our elections, and Facebook and Twitter, how they basically are banning alt-right. And I'm not an alt-right guy, but it's just like they ban only one side of the whole equation. It's interesting.
Well, it's amazing to see like lefties act like, oh, well, if they ban Alex Jones, that's just a wonderful thing. You don't think that's ever going to fucking come home to where you are? You think that's just going to be Alex Jones? Like, you know, not long after they were starting to ban Alex Jones and things like that, the last week there was a CNN article that talked about neo-Nazis and pedophiles on YouTube and grouped in the Jimmy Dore show into that article.
Oh, about, my God, about how, dude.
You know, they were like leftists who believe in conspiracy hoax, like the Syrian chemical attack wasn't real, like the Jimmy Dore show. They also have YouTube advertising. So they're grouping it all together, and they're using it to suppress all anti-establishment voices. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to see an increased movement towards these decentralized platforms. I've started getting active on Steemit, which is one
too.
A lot of people are using.
Yep.
And you know, it's going to take time to build those. I'm not acting like those are an answer tomorrow. I'm going to still be on Facebook because that's where all the fucking people are. But I think that those need to grow into something that can't be easily stopped.
Well, you know, the problem is, and it will always be, is like once it does get traction, they come in and they buy it and they change everything. We've seen it with Vice.
we've seen
it with Netflix now. I love Netflix, but I mean, there's some crazy shit going on there, you know? It's crazy shit. And it's always good. I mean, look at The Onion. The Onion's probably the closest thing to something not changing. But make no doubts about it. When they bought that thing right before, like, the election was really starting to get going, they knew what they were doing. They bought it so that they didn't rip Hillary a new asshole. And, like, $1 billion, these people means nothing. And it's my theory.
It's the same owners of Univision bought The Onion. Yeah.
Who is owned by who? Universal. You know, and then when you go to the highest level, and I want to kind of get into something because you were talking about centralized banks. I mean, if you really get into everything, There's about eight families in this country that own everything. They own all the biggest parts of everything. They own all the federal banks. They own all the federal banks. And then this woman did this whole study and she broke it down. And it's like they own giant chunks of every single Fortune 500 company. Now, if you think about that, right, that includes every network and movie studio, right? So then you think if they own all the fucking people who are all the Fortune 500 companies, who's advertising on television? You know, they own the station, they own the advertisers. It's all fucking a shell game that's going on. And that's why ratings don't matter, in my opinion. They act like if it gets really bad, they get rid of somebody. But then they keep this person on who's got horrible ratings on forever and ever and ever. Because to me, that's why they call it programming. Because they're programming you. And they're more like if they cared about MTV, they would fucking change the programming. But they really don't. They want MTV to do say what they want you to say.
Well, right, and they'll leave someone on with bad ratings if they're saying the right thing. But yeah. what they won't do is keep someone on with good ratings who's saying the wrong thing. Like Phil Donahue was like the number one voice at MSNBC when the Iraq War started, but he was anti-war, so yeah. They fired him. Ed Schultz was one of the top rated shows at MSNBC, but he was pro Bernie and they're a pro Hillary channel. So they got rid of Ed Schultz. Like you see it again and again. The one thing they care more about keeping the message
yep.
than good ratings.
100%. Real quick, your thoughts on the whole FISA memo scandal. Did you get into any of that? Like Carter Page, who's Carter Page? Cause that's who they put the warrant out on. And then later on you really dig deep into Carter Page's whole history and you find out he was on the Clinton transitional team and isn't that fucking convenient? Just like when you remember during the election when Bernie got in trouble for stealing data and Bernie's like, this guy did it and you recommended him to us, that's why we used him. And then you find Donna Brazile puts out a book that just basically says Hillary just hijacked the whole DNC. She was put in charge of money and who gets hired. And then you see that guy went stole that stuff and it's like, oh, are these guys just plants? And I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, Donna Brazile straight up admitted in her book that she wouldn't admit to straight up rigging, but she admitted to financially rigging the election. They financially rigged the primaries. And we know they rigged the primaries, but they won't cop to that. But you've got the former head of the DNC saying, hey, the primaries were financially rigged. Now in court, in these court cases, the DNC has come forward and said, hey, we're not obligated to not rig the primaries. They're like, we could do whatever the fuck we want. They literally in court said we can pick the candidate however we want. The election is a show. Like, it's like you can't make this stuff up. But of course, those stories aren't allowed to be covered on the mainstream media.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable. Now this is because we got to wrap up and come. We were driving over
real quick. Have you heard about the gold exodus that's been happening in America?
Have you heard about this, Lee?
So check it out.
I have not, but I you go ahead.
So on April 19th, just passed, right? The Turkish government made a decision to remove all its gold reserves from the U.S. federal system. That's 220 tons, estimated at $25 billion. All right. This isn't the first country to do this. All right. Back in 2012, Venezuela took out all their gold. 2014, the Netherlands took out 122 tons. 2017, Germany brought home 300 metric tons. And I mean,
took 4 years, right?
It took 4 years to get that 300 back.
Holy shit.
All right. What's crazy about this, the gold's homecoming for Turkey is partly prompted by the U.S. threats to impose sanctions if Turkey goes through and sign the deal with the purchase of Russia's S-400 missile defense systems. So we're like, you better not build that. They're like, well, we're gonna take our gold out. Like, go home.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude.
So this is the idea.
Well, and you know why this is so scary to the system is because they don't actually, because of fractional reserve banking and the likes of that, yeah. And the stock market, which they don't actually have that much hard currency on hand. Like, it's something like $4 or $5 trillion of hard currency around, where in fact the stock market is estimated at $30 trillion. So if people actually wanted their money, they would be royally fucked.
Oh, yeah. That's what got Bernie Madoff in trouble when the whole real estate thing crashed and burned. People started asking for their money back, and he's like,
fun fact, the Federal Reserve has never been fully and independently audited, so we don't even know what's inside there.
Oh, technically you're not allowed to. There's that famous Greenspan talking about how like they don't give a shit who the president is. They don't have to talk to anybody.
While other countries are pulling out their gold from the Federal Reserve, Russia and China are boosting their reserves. So the idea is a prophecy to a future currency war.
Oh, it's already there, man.
So what do you think, Lee? Where are we looking at in like 4 years?
It's a good question. But the other thing that's really scaring them in terms of currency is cryptocurrency. They're going to keep trying to crack down on Bitcoin because, you know, you take currencies outside of the central government banks and it scares the empire something fierce. And this kind of factors into what we're talking about on this upcoming Redacted tonight. I've already started writing it. I'm going to cover how Wall Street is a Ponzi scheme. And I know that a lot of people just go, oh, yeah, you know, it's kind of a Ponzi scheme. Like, no, it's the exact definition of a Ponzi scheme. Because, like, for example, Tesla has lost, if you look at headlines, Tesla has lost billions of dollars, something like $4 or $5 billion in the past 7 years. OK, but their stock has gone from $20 to $380 or something. So how is it that where is that money coming from if they're losing money?
Yeah,
well, because the only way you get that money is by new investors coming in.
Yeah.
And if new investors stop coming in, it all fucking collapses.
I mean, dude, look at Snapchat. I mean, Snapchat has not made any money, but it just keeps going. And then you start thinking, oh, if the FBI was behind, or the CIA was behind the Facebook, what about Snapchat? What a great way to get everybody's facial recognition by having everybody do dog faces all the time. So they have nothing but hot chick face recognition in their systems
now. And you know, the Pokemon Go app was created by InQtel, that CIA venture capitalist arm. So, you know, what a good way to find out everything people are doing in every location they're using Pokemon Go.
Oh, dude, they also control Pornhub. I'm fucked.
Do they?
Yeah, they create Pornhub. Now, real quick, I want you to get in what you were talking about, and then we'll wrap it up.
Go for it.
No. I want you to bring it in, dude, because it is crazy shit. So Ryan's more into the
I'm like an ex-hippie, and Sam's like an ex-maniac.
I just like to talk shit. And, you know, so, I am a maniac. I'll give you that.
I'd be trying to sneak in behind the bouncer's back, and Sam would, like, talk his way through somehow.
I'm just like, let's drive the car through the front, dude. We'll drive the car.
You know what it is? It's Coke versus LSD.
Yeah, okay. I respect that.
You said it.
Respect that. I'm cool with that for sure. But you brought up some interesting stuff about the UN, and I'd love for Lee to hear it before we take off.
Yeah, the whole idea is public-private partnerships in the UN. So for us conspiracy theorists, that's the UN is owning private land within America, so that land isn't even American soil. Have you ever heard of this concept?
No. If you buy something in America, does it not count as American soil?
Well, so the idea is that it's basically making a portion of the UN within America. This started back in 2014. The idea was first proposed by the owner of Bass Pro Shops. We all know Sam Walton of Walmart,
bastards.
Right? So this guy, Bass Pro Shops, billionaire. And
I was waiting for the Bass Pro Shops conspiracy to happen.
Well, Merry Christmas.
So, but he's backed up by Toyota and Shell. These are UN non-governmental organizations with endless money. And so they're the ones that are backing this idea that you're trying to, the whole big thing is an advisory committee for public lands so that they could save it, you know, for wildlife, diverse fishing game. But it's owned by the UN, not the United States government. And these is purchased through corporations.
Okay. So, and your whole theory is that...
So when people like conspiracy theorists like us, like, they're coming for our guns. It's like, they ain't coming for your guns. They're coming for you. Because FEMA camps, like I was telling Sam, I'm like, FEMA camps are real. You can go to them. There are areas in Montana, Wyoming. They're all around.
Have you heard of FEMA camps?
Of course.
Lee?
I know what they are. I don't know that I buy into every theory about them.
Well, 100% that we can be proven is just physical evidence. And FEMA camps have barbed wire fences. Jails.
They're old Walmarts, right?
Yeah, well, it's here or there. But there's actual FEMA camps that have been 100%. They're there. They're government-owned. They're known. They're on maps. Well, the barbed wire is facing towards inward. That's designed to keep people in. That's what you do at jails. If you're trying to keep people from like breaking into your FEMA camp, be facing out.
Well, I gotcha.
So that's like one like red flag.
Right.
The other thing is these FEMA camps also have incinerators on site, large industrial incinerators. The idea is if we broke out in some sort of plague, say like the Spanish flu, killed 50 million in a year.
You mean whatever Bill Gates is talking about right now?
Yeah, so that's where I'm leading us down the road, Lee. What is your idea about people that fear that the UN and that they're coming for us?
I mean, we saw Alex. I know Alex Jones is a crazy person, but a broken clock is right twice a day. And he put out these, there's pictures, you can find them, of UN, giant UN trucks everywhere, you know? And it's just crazy shit, dude. But then you think we have camps all over the world. Why wouldn't anybody come and put camps in our fucking country?
Yeah, it's not often you get
I don't know. So here's my take is I'm not really worried about that stuff because I feel like we live under political philosopher Sheldon Wolin called inverted totalitarianism. It's ruled by the anonymous corporate state, and we're already in the jails. We're in the jails of like a corporate system that has most people. I mean, I'm lucky enough to do like what I love with my life, but whatever it is, 70, 60% of America is doing things they fucking hate all day, every day. We're already slaves, most of us. Like, it's to me, that's the fucking system. It's not like we have some sort of awesome freedom and they're going to take it away. It's more like, how do we get to a world where we have more freedom to actually do what we want with our lives, as opposed to the system now where so many people fucking slave all day, every day, doing shit they hate.
Now, do you think that the reason that, you know, we're bombing everybody, and then you got to go, how come nobody hits us? And I know we have this really huge military, but is it because we're the purchasing power of the world and nobody wants to fuck with that? Because if you fucking hit us, I mean, look at 9/11, where like George Bush had to go, hey, man, just go outside, go shopping, do some shopping, man. We need you to go buy shit. Shit's crumbling. OK, go buy shit. Like if they hit us, does that ruin the kind of the world market we have where we purchase everything? You know,
I think why you're seeing the bombing and everything right now, it seems to be increasing, is because we've been the world's bank and economic engine for a while now, but it's crumbling. It's, you know, it can't sustain for multiple reasons. One we haven't really talked about is the environment's collapsing. You can't possibly sustain this level of consumerism and endless buying and exploiting with the resources we have. So when our buying power, our petrodollar and everything gets questioned, such as, you know, you were talking about the opening I did on Redacted Tonight, and I know you've talked about it yourself. It's like when our dollar is questioned, we have to go in there and knock down those societies that are questioning our dollar. Libya, Syria, Iraq. It's just again and again. It's why we hate North Korea. You know, they also have had a communist structure. And so it's like we've got to keep doing that to try and entrench and continue to hold this like kind of crumbling empire. And it's really disgusting because the number of lives that are just thrown in the fucking churned up in the machine to be able to sustain this thing is nuts.
Did you see Wolf Blitzer when he was interviewing Paul? And he's like, oh, so you're against it bombing in Yemen, you know, that could cost jobs.
Yeah.
That was fucking believable. Crazy. Unbelievable. Lee Camp, you're a fucking star. I love having you on the show. It's a pleasure to watch you work. One more time, can you push your dates out here and where they can get tickets if you're not sold out yet?
Hey, man, thank you so much. This is a lot of fun. I'm taping May 18th and 19th in Los Angeles. The special guest is Jimmy Dore, and you can get those tickets at leecamp.com/schedule or redactedtour.com. You can check out my show Redacted Tonight on YouTube, youtube.com/redactedtonight. And I have a new podcast called Common Censored, where we try and talk about all these same issues. So.
Well, I love it, man. You're doing the Lord's work, my friend. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for coming on and keep fighting a good fight, my friend.
Keep fighting.
Take care, everybody. That was Lee Camp, everybody. That's our show. What another fun show. And we will see you again in a few. Thank you for your support. Give us those 5 stars, homeboy. Give us those 5 stars.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. P-A-I-R.com.